Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Can you thank the Lord this morning? Tell the Lord this morning, Lord, my heart is open to your word. My heart is open to receive from your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, I lena shanon de lide brando robo shedele de bregedi. We give you praise, our Father. We give you praise, our Father. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. Come on, come on. Can I hear you loud? Amen. Yes, sounding and believing. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven celebrate your neighbor as you take your seat. God bless you. Also. Okay, we're going straight into the word. Father, I receive in the name of Jesus to be able to deliver. Amen. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Our pastor has declared that this year, as God revealed to him, that is a year of covenant establishment. And it's important for us to, I want to read from Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, right? Chapter 6. Please go to Exodus first. Exodus 6 and verse 4. Verse 4. He said, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. I have also established. You can see that word there is not in future tense. Is in what? Past tense. So the Lord has already given. So what is remaining is for us to take that which the Lord has given. Say, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what God is set to do this year, is to establish every covenant. And so we want to look at some of those things. So as we go to Joshua chapter 14. We read from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I willingly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet have trod in shall be thine inheritance. Someone say amen to that.
Amen.
He says, surely the land whereon your feet has walked upon shall be your inheritance and your children's forever.
Amen.
Is someone receiving that prophecy already? He says, because you have followed the Lord my God wholly, wholeheartedly. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord had kept me alive. And he said, these 40 and 5 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 85 years old. Another translation says, he said, I am now 85 years old. I'm now 85 years old. It says, verse 11, as yet as I am strong this day, he said, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. How old was he when Moses sent him? He was 40 years old. And he was comparing the strength of when he was 40 with the strength of when he became what? 85. He said, I am as strong as I was 45 years ago. He says, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. The Lord is renewing someone's strength this morning. Yeah. Verse 12, he says, now give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. He says, if so be the Lord be with me, I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kejarba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Hallelujah. This morning we want to look at the life of Caleb as it has to do with covenant establishment. Hallelujah. So the title of the message is Give Me This Mountain. But you see, it's not just about you standing up to say, give me this mountain. There are some prerequisites, there are some things that must be fulfilled. Or there are some attributes or characteristics that must be present. Or some factors must be present on ground. So what was Caleb's secret to being a strong man at 85 years old? Can you just imagine, can you just picture a man 85 years and he's telling you that I can still go to war? So it means that somebody is thinking I'm 40 and 50 and 60. It's over. It's not over. If Caleb was 85, he said, I can still go out and I can still come back. How much more you? I believe we don't even have anybody who is 85 here, except maybe people who are watching from home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So number one thing we'll see from here is in verse 6. Can you back up to verse 6, please? Number one thing, it says, you know the word which the Lord has said. Can we read together? Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. One thing that distinguished this man, that made this man to become a man strong, old yet young, he was a man who had understanding of God's word. Hallelujah. He was a man who had what? An understanding of God's word. He said, you know. And it wasn't just only him who had that knowledge. It was a community. He was speaking to who? He was speaking to Joshua. He said, you know what the Lord said. That's the first step. Knowing what the Lord has said. He said, you know what the Lord has said. So the first question this morning is, what has the Lord said to you? He said, it is the year of our covenant establishment, but what has the Lord said to you? It is important to, hallelujah, what has the Lord said? Because that is going to be the basis, that is going to be what you will transact with this year. For your family, what has the Lord said? For your finance, what has the Lord said? For your marriage, what has the Lord said? For your business, what has the Lord said? For your ministry, what has the Lord said? He said, you know what the Lord has said. Concerning your education, what has the Lord said? Because it is important. Without knowing what the Lord has said, you'll be... But the second step, the number two thing that distinguished this man, he said, concerning you and me. You see, he moved from a general understanding of God's word. He moved to what level? To a personal level. What the Lord said concerning you and me. Hallelujah. Yeah, we all read the Bible, but what has the Lord revealed unto you? Because that is what is going to be the basis of transaction this year. That is going to be the basis of transaction this year. What has the Lord said? You know what the Lord said through Moses the servant concerning you and me. So Caleb knew what God's word said about him. He knew what God's word said about his inheritance. You know, he was talking about inheritance in this passage. He said, you know what the Lord God said about me, concerning you and me. So he was talking about inheritance. What are the inheritances, or what do we have? What has God said about your health, for instance? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the servant of God, concerning me and thee. In Kadesh Barnea. You see, what has God been saying since the year began? This is not number three, but he didn't just remember what the Lord said. He remembered the location. What the Lord said to you in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. What the Lord said to you in the place of worship. While you were waiting, what did the Lord tell you? He didn't just trivialize that, God has just spoken to me. No, he jotted down. And this transaction, he was talking here 45 years later. He said, the Lord God spoke to me in Kadesh Barnea. You see, a lot of times we come to church, we receive prophecies, but we even forget where we receive the prophecy. The location is as important too. Where you receive the prophecy is very, very important. And so this year, one of the things we'll do is that we'll journey with the Lord with jotters, with our handbooks. Because, you see, we were having a conversation yesterday. He said, Brogwinga was telling me, we were just talking, and he said, somebody said, let your head do his own part. Let the jotter, let the book do its own part. You know, a lot of times you just feel like, I'll remember. That is for the head. But allow the head to do its own part. Allow the jotter to do its own part. He had an understanding and he wrote it down. He said, the Lord said to me in Kadesh Barnea, you know what the Lord God said to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, he was not just a man who had understanding of God's word. He was not just a man who had understanding of God's word to him. He was also a man of faith. Caleb was a man of faith. You see, one of the things that I have noticed is that people who love God's word, people who cherish God's word, people who have an understanding of God's word, they are not far from being people of faith. Hallelujah. Because what? Bible says in Romans 10:17, it said what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So the more they have interaction, they have, you know, conversations with the word, faith is built. Faith is built. Faith is built. And how did Caleb exemplify or show his faith? Remember, how many were they that, there were how many that, 12 were sent out to go and spy out the land of Canaan. Right? How many people came back with good reports? Two people. But let's move. There's a place, verse 7. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it is on my own heart. See, can we read that last part together? And I brought him word again as it was in my own heart. He wasn't just talking about his own heart, as the Lord revealed to him. Did he see Hannah Kim? Yes, he saw Hannah Kim. Did he see the giant? He saw the giant, but there was a conversation that happened there. He wasn't just acknowledging that he saw Anakims. He wasn't just acknowledging that he saw giants. He said, but I brought him word again. He talks about like this is a thing that has been happening. I brought him word again as it was in my own heart. That which the Lord revealed to him. You see. Verse 8. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. People who follow the Lord are people of revelation. They are men of faith. I brought to him again word as it was in my own heart. That which the Lord revealed unto him, he brought again to the man of God. Hallelujah. Number 4. He wasn't just a man of faith, he was also a man of patience. He wasn't just a man of what? He wasn't just a man of what? Faith. He was also a man of patience. A lot of times we talk about faith, we don't talk about patience. It is incomplete. Hallelujah. It is what? It is incomplete. And I want to read somewhere through us in the scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. It says, For you had compassion of me in my bones. Verse 35. It says, cast not away your confidence. You know, we quote this scripture very well in church. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Full stop. Verse 36. For you have what? You have what? Need of patience. He just spoke about confidence. He was just speaking about faith. He was just speaking about belief. He said, but you have need of patience. What am I saying in essence is that the things that the Lord has revealed unto you to do this year, you have need for patience. The Lord God spoke. This transaction happened when he was 40, but this man received the fullness of that transaction when he was how many years old? 85. Can you wait? The Lord has said you will marry this year, but can you wait? Hallelujah. Can you wait? And you see, this patience we are talking about is not just patience. What do you do while you are waiting? Yes. Hallelujah. What do you do while you are waiting? That is the real test of patience. What you do. You know, it's like you are driving, you are in a hurry, you're going somewhere, but you are running late, and you get to that traffic light. You just grudgingly stop. But you know that in your heart you have actually gone past the traffic light. Can we relate with what I'm saying? Can we relate very well? What do you do when you wait? While you are waiting? Because that is actually the real test of faith. That is actually the real test of faith. He said, for you have need. Who was speaking in this place? Please. For who was speaking? I believe it was Paul. Do you agree with me? He said, for you have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He says, after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. After that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. After that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. The will of God, or the will of the government at that moment when you stop. When the traffic light is red, is what? The will of the government is what? That you stop. He says, after you have done the will of God, that you might receive. But first, you have need for what? Patience. Yes, the Lord has revealed things to you, but it doesn't mean that it will happen now. What did I say? It doesn't mean it will happen now. One of the things I've come to understand is that prophecies are time framed. Hallelujah. Prophecies are time framed. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 10. He said, verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold her in the tent. Verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of. So what was the time of life? It's the time that the prophecy itself, not your own time. You see, a lot of times we think that the prophecy will happen now. He said, but I will surely. This was a man that just received a promise. Right? He had just received the promise. He said, but I will surely come back unto thee according to the time of life. Another scripture to validate that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, behold, thou shalt be dumb, not being able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed. This was Gabriel speaking to who? Zacharias. He says, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that this thing shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. That's not the part of emphasis. Which shall be fulfilled when? In their season. The word of the Lord will be fulfilled in their season. He didn't say in your season. He said in their season. Hallelujah. But you see, we have spoken about faith. He said, because thou believest not my words. We talked about, we said Caleb was a man of what? A man of faith. A man of faith. A man of faith. David is a man of faith. Itunu is a man of faith. Joy is a man of faith. Benga is a man of faith. Tokbe is a man of faith. Patience is a man of faith. Not just a man of faith, also a man of patience. You have received God's word this year, but can you allow God to do what he has said? He said, I am the one, I watch over my word to accomplish, to do it. I watch over my word. It is not your response. The only responsibility you have in this equation is faith. I'm saying that God has spoken great things to you this year. But you need faith. You have need of patience. Hallelujah. Number what now? Number 5. He was a servant. He was a servant. He was a servant. Caleb was a servant. David is a servant. Who is a servant? Can I get a chorus answer? Someone who is sure, can you just echo it loud? Seventh person who serves others. He was a servant. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. He was talking about Moses there. He said, he sent me to spy out the land. He sent me. He was on errand. Hallelujah. Caleb was on what? The promise did not just come to Caleb because he was in his sitting room, sitting down, and he was walking. He was doing something. He was engaging in the service of the Lord. Moses sent me. He sent me to spy. You see, Pastor was speaking about assignment the other time. What assignment are you fulfilling right now? Because it determines if you will receive the prophecy or not. Moses sent me. He said, he sent me. Do you know the meaning of the word apostle? Is what? The sent one. So what assignment are you carrying out now? You know, Pastor was speaking 31st. He said, this year is a year of service. It's a year of sacrifice. Can we still remember those words? It is as important as he spoke then. It's still valid now. And it will still be valid to the end of the year. What is the assignment you are running now? Moses, the servant of God, sent me to spy out the land. And you see, it was the land that God sent him, or that Moses sent him to spy, he actually became an inheritor of that which the Lord sent him to go and check out. Can you just imagine that pastor just sends you downstairs, let me check, there's a car Corolla downstairs, and you grumble, not knowing that the car has already been decorated and is going to, but you just like, it's not just important, Jari, you just walk another way. It means you have missed that opportunity. May we not miss our opportunities in the name of Jesus. So he was a man on assignment. He was a man on assignment. Join a unit this year. The blessing is in service. Hallelujah. This blessing is in what? Is in service. Where you will get your prophecy is in place of service. Hallelujah. And he didn't just serve. He said he served with what? He served wholly. Please let me pronounce that word. Another word for that holy. Fully. Completely. Not 99%, not 90%, not 98%. Everything. He gave everything into it. He gave what? 100%. In fact, if possible, he gave 101%. Tirelessly. He served tirelessly. He wasn't serving grudgingly, like, you know, Bible gave, Jesus gave a parable of two servants. Abby, he said, one said, I will go. The second one said, I won't go. The one who said, I will go, what happened? He didn't go. The one who said, I will not go, what eventually happened? He now eventually went. Service. Number six, he was a man with bridled tongue. And how did I get to know that? Can you back up to verse 8, please? Let me see something. He says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. Can we go to Deuteronomy chapter 1? Verse 34. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We'll read from 34 downwards. Chapter 1. And this was Moses speaking. Can we read? Can you see it on your screen? Can you see it? Is it there yet? Okay, can we read together? One, two, go. Wait, let me give you a background. This was Moses giving them report. He was speaking to the children of Israelites. And he was talking about the 12 spies. So that's the background. He says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words. And was what? Wrath. In another language, the Lord was angry. The Lord was displeased. Number 6 point is what? He was a man of bridled tongue. And the Lord heard the voice of your words. A lot of us, a lot of times, don't know that God hears what we say. Yeah, the Lord has revealed the covenant. He has revealed the promises to you. He has shown you what the inheritance will be this year. But what are you saying? Are you saying the same thing as what the Lord... And you know, confession actually means saying the same thing that the Lord has said. When a lawyer goes to the law court, what does he say? Subsection D, as it is written in the penal code or whatever, he's not saying something contrary. He's saying the same thing has been written. So, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of his words, of your words. He was speaking about the 10 other guys and was wroth and swear, saying, verse 35, surely, can we read together again? See that good land. What was that good land? Canaan, the promised land. Canaan was the promised land. He said, which I swore to give unto your fathers. Verse 36. Save. Can we echo it together? Save. If they say save Caleb, it means that Caleb didn't do what other guys did. You know, Pastor has been speaking, and sincerely, I see a lot of consulting works happening for him this year that he will be going out to speak to organizations, not just churches now, organizations. Bro David and I were talking yesterday, this in confidence. What do you say while you are at the office? What do you say about your boss? Hallelujah. Yes, physically he's not there, but do you know that because it's that man's office, he hears you? I'm not talking about an office that has CCTV camera. That one is one part. I'm talking about an office that does not have CCTV camera. Because it's that man's office. What conversations do we have? And you see, one of the things that the Lord showed me, he said, you see, Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, for we walk by faith and not by... So the guy went to spy the land. What he actually saw by sight was what? Anakims, giants, impossibilities. Right? But when he came back, what did he say? They are bread for us. Your perspective matters. And see, can I tell you, this year, don't judge by the scene of your eyes. Or just by what people are saying, that business, that it can never prosper. What has the Lord spoken to you? You know, he said, you know the word that the Lord God said concerning me, and who received instruction? Caleb. Who has greater responsibility? Caleb. It's Caleb. And I'll give an example to this. I think it was in 2016 or 2017. Have we moved to this place? We moved November 1, right? But yeah, 2017, I think about April or May. It was a Saturday. The Saturday we generally have our prayer meeting. Way back, we were still in Lukbeju then. I was still living with my uncle. 2017, yes. I was still living with my uncle. I only had a room. I had a mattress inside our house, and the mattress was on the floor. And I was living, I don't know where to call it now. that our Lungu. I went for a business meeting that Saturday morning. Prayer meeting was 3 that evening. So I went for that meeting. And so while different people were speaking, talking, I mean, different speakers came up, spoke, and all of that. Towards the end of the meeting, the Lord gave me an instruction. He said, that man, meet him after the meeting. Okay, meet him after the meeting. So when the meeting was over, I stood up, and I went to meet the man, and I said, it was a business meeting. So I said, you know, we had conversation and all of that. And he said, Monday morning by 10, send me an email with the SKU of the product. I'm talking about my business now. He said, send me the SKU of the product. SKU of the product is like a unique identifier for that product. Even if you have 1 billion products, that number is unique to that one product. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, send me the seller SKU of the product. So I said, okay, no problems. But while we're conversing, he gave me his card. So other people, and the meeting we had like almost 200 persons in attendance. He gave me his card. People saw that he gave me card. But you know what happened? Others stood up to come and meet the man. Please, can I have your card? They got the card. So I got the card. But I was the only one who had a conversation with him. And that conversation was built on the discussion from God. He gave me a card. That card was for me to have access to his email. Like, no time to be writing. Just take this card. And I collected the card Monday morning. I was waiting for Monday to come. Hey, you know that kind of waiting, right? I couldn't just wait for Monday to come. So Monday came, I sent him an email, Fortunately, that day, I had a sample of that product with me. So Monday came, and I sent him email. Of course, phone number, direct line on the card. I called him. Sir, I just sent you an email. He said, okay, no problems, and all of that. To cut the long story short, that particular product sold over 10,000 units. And not only that product. There was a day after meeting was over, service was over in church. I don't know if Pastor will remember. I'm saying all of these examples. I'm not comfortable saying it, but I'm saying it to help somebody. That what the Lord has spoken to you, you have a responsibility to follow through. Another thing happened. I don't know if Pastor will remember. I was flipping. I think at my laptop, I was walking way back in the Lukwege, and she saw a shoe. And she was just, you know, the way you know Pastor Wumi and the way she talks. And she said, and I don't know how it came out of my mind. I said, 600 units. I'd never done that in my life. Remember, I told you that I didn't have a house of my own. Like, I wasn't living in my own rented or my own house. I was squatting in somebody's house. And I did 600 units. You know, Pastor Wumi said, it was then it dawned on me, like, if you don't sell this shoe, how many do you want to wear? Can you just imagine 600? I mean, like, the funny part, just one design, but in three different colors. One design, three different. It just dawned on me, like, wait, if they reject this shoe, where will you put it? Is it in this one-room apartment that you are squatting in that you put it? And I mean, like, it just dawned on me, like, but I later realized that I only moved as God moved me. No single shoe out of that unit remained. I never even owned one copy. But it all started from what? Instruction. So Caleb was a man who had bridle tongue. He didn't allow his sight to lead him. And you see, people who don't have bridle tongue, they are toxic people. He said, please go back to chapter 14 and verse 7, or is it verse 8 now? Chapter 14, Joshua 14, 7. He said, nevertheless, the brethren, and you see, that's one of the things you have to be careful. Yes, they are believers, but be careful of the kind of conversations they have. My bread, he didn't say bread, my brethren, people of the same, people you will think like should be seeing the same thing as. He said, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. Run away from conversations that don't build faith in you. Run away from conversations that build doubt in you. And you see, the truth of the matter is the song of deliverance is not to exalt the problem, it's to magnify Christ. He saw. But what he said was different from what he saw. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Is someone being blessed this morning? Is someone being blessed this morning? He saw giant, but much more than that, he saw El Shaddai, the Almighty One. His speech was not affected by what he saw. That exam is difficult. That's what you have heard. But what you confess must be different. Hallelujah. Your confession must be what? Different. It must be of the kingdom. And it must be that which the Lord has revealed. He said, all things work together. That's one of the confessions for me and my family. Said, all things work together for good, for my good. He said, surely, most assuredly, I see the favor, I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Those are kind of confessions you should be having. It tired me. I don't even remove that from your speech this year. That's the reason why you are tired. You say it tired me. That's the reason why you are tired. That's the reason why you are tired. You see, the thing is, we say a different thing and we expect a different thing to happen. Your confession must align with God's promises for you this year. What did I say? Your confession, what you declare, what you pronounce, what you declare with your mouth must align with God's will for you. Number seven, Caleb means wholeheartedly. Actually, the name, the meaning of the name Caleb, it means wholeheartedly. What are you committed to this year? That's number seven, right? That's number seven, right? The Lord told me later part, I think it was during the fasting, the 14 days fasting. He said, what you are committed to, if you are committed to my word, it determines what is committed to you. I understood this better. Caleb was committed to a nation's prosperity. Like he believed in what God had said, that God said he was giving the people land. Like, let them have their own, that you are no longer squatting. You have your own space. If you like, park 10 cars. Not the one that you and your neighbors are, okay, come and reverse. Let me crack it. Oh, no, let me park in this morning. I'm going out tomorrow morning. You understand that kind of? No, he said he believed that God was onto a mission. God had something in mind to do. And he was committed to it. No wonder his name meant wholeheartedly. What are you committed to? Are you committed to that thing that the Lord has declared or revealed unto you? What are you committed to? You see, and I will get into this. Chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord speak in that day. It is not enough that you receive a prophecy. That's another part. For thou hast heard in that day how the Anakims were there. You know, when God spoke, you would think that they would just walk freely into that land and start building houses and start mounting tents and start, you know, doing all the businesses and all of that. He said, for thou heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. You see, a city in those days, be afraid of cities that are fenced. Because the person you want to come and attack, you see on those fences, and the fence I'm talking about is not that fence in your house that you can use one leg to. One fence, you know what I'm talking about. Like you can use one, you can just push it like this. I'm not talking about that kind of fence, so strong, heavily built fences. And you see from here, you even say, he said the cities were what? Were what? Great fenced. He didn't say fence. He said great. You can see, even from here, you can read the emotions into it. Great fence. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, and the Lord has said. What is revealing to us here is that, yes, the Lord has spoken, but it requires a warfare. Warfare of prayer. It won't just come to you like that. The truth about the matter is gold. You don't see gold on the surface. Is that true? What do we have to do? You have to dig. Things of value are not on the surface. Things of value are buried underground. So you have to dig. There's a warfare attached to it. Because sometimes, yeah, a prophecy has come forth and you're like, I'm supposed to just go to office tomorrow and they just give me khaki, just do. No, it doesn't happen that way. We won't just get that scholarship that way. It doesn't just happen like that your business will be, your product is the one that people are just buying. It won't just happen that way. There must be underground work. He said, fight the good fight of faith. There must be a fight of faith. Said, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. This man still didn't forget that it was God. He was still working with the word of God. As the Lord has. What has the Lord said unto you? You see, we are still coming back to that. Number nine. What was given to him? Number nine. What was given to him? Verse 13, please. And Joshua blessed him. You see, the blessing is important. And this man, Caleb, he had a daughter like him, Pastor. He had a daughter like him. Let me see where I wrote that. Can we look at chapter 15 and verse 16? He had a daughter like him. So he kind of made me to be like, is this thing like it runs in their family? This man was bold. He said, give me this mountain which the Lord God has said, right? That was his declaration, right? You see what his daughter did. And Caleb said, he that smited, catch, please, pardon me. Kedar Sefer and takes it. To him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. Verse 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, actually his nephew. Actually his what? His nephew. Took it and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Verse 18. And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask her father. Who was talking here now? Aksa, the daughter of Caleb. Moved him to ask of her father for what? For what? What did the father receive? Mountain, land, a field, right? And she lighted off her house, and Caleb said unto her, what would you want? What do you want? Verse 19. She answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. You see, one of the things you must make up this year is that you must never be afraid of asking. You must never be afraid of what? Caleb asked, what did he receive? A mountain. The daughter also displaying the same thing the father did. He said, for thou hast given me, he said, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. You see, but what is a land when there is no water? Do you understand what I'm saying? The gold we are talking about, if there's no water, you can't find gold there. There's still a reaction that brings about that gold. Crude oil you are talking of, if there's no water, there can't be crude oil buried in the land. He said, give me also. She wasn't afraid of asking for more. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Never be afraid of asking. I see that lesson of me standing up to go and ask that man. Ah, yeah, the me I know. After that meeting, carry my kaya, I don't go. But the Lord, it was so strong upon my heart. Ask this man. Product that in a week was struggling to do 20. In 1 week, it was now doing 100. Give me also. Hallelujah. I think I have less than 3 minutes more. What Caleb actually received. Can we go back to verse 13? Verse 13. Or 14. Chapter 14. Verse 14. Yeah, leave it at that 14. No. Go to verse 13. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh. What? He gave him what? Hebron for an inheritance. I'm coming back to that. Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. Hebron is one of the 6 cities of refuge. There were only 6 cities of refuge. Hebron. You see, city of refuge means when you have committed an offense in your own land, where you can run to that nothing will happen, that you take safety, you take covering. What did he receive? He received Hebron. He said, and it became his even unto this day. Are you getting something I'm talking about? So what the Lord is actually doing is beyond you. God is saying he's giving you something, but it's a place of refuge for people. That your business will begin to employ, it will begin to employ people, and is giving people meal. People are being saved. People are all right. He received Hebron. I don't have time. Time is against me. I would have opened up to this city of refuge. The only way a man can come back to his city is if that high priest has died. Somebody is not getting it. If you are in a city of refuge, before you can go back to your place of origin, is until the high priest has died. Jesus died. That's why we can come to house of refuge. Place of. Hallelujah. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Hebron therefore became inheritance of Caleb. Hebron therefore became inheritance of Caleb. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15, the place I'll be stopping. And the name of Hebron was the former name, Kejar Taba, which was Arba, a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Victory is guaranteed. If you follow the Lord, victory is guaranteed. If you do what? If you follow the Lord, victory is guaranteed. I have rest.